Welcome to Gay Geek Bizarre Show, episode 119. And it's a Monday, November 26, 2018. I am Nard.
And this is Ray.
Yes, welcome everyone to the show, where we talk about gay news, geek stories, and bizarre topics. So you might notice that there's some change in the sound, so I hope, just please bear with us, all y'all, just because we're changing the way we're recording. We're using Skype right now, and new technology, and hope it works well. So I hope you guys can bear with us. All right, let's do some weekend updates. Ray, how was your Thanksgiving?
It was good. I gave thanks. Went and watched Boy Erased, which I understand you watched Friday before I did.
Yeah, how did you like it?
I liked it. I thought it was a really good movie. Really? And I thought looking at the actual pictures of the kids' parents at the end of the movie, I was like, well, they nailed that with Russell Crowe and Nicole Kidman because they looked exactly like them.
Oh, really? Yeah. I did see the picture. In the end, they showed the pictures of the parents. And yeah, it was intriguing that they picked the right people for the right roles.
Yeah.
The right actors for the right roles.
But if y'all haven't seen Boy Erased, I highly recommend you go see it. It's the story of a guy that went through Christian gay conversion therapy.
Yep.
And his experience with it back in, what was that? When was it set? The 80s or 90s?
I guess it's in the
80s. I think it's a little bit later than, I think it's the 90s.
Yeah.
Because he had a cell phone.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. It's got to be 90s or probably late 90s. Yeah,
late 90s. So, but it was a very good movie talking about that. And so there was a guy, it was a real, based on a true story, and the guy wrote about it. And now he's a, he does articles and stuff in the LGBT community. So,
yeah, good for him. Yes.
And his parents were like,
they're like what?
They're super religious.
Oh, yeah, that's right. So if you guys watch it, you'll get to see a Russell Crowe with a dad bod. Because for many years, I've always looked at him as the guy from Gladiator. And here he is with a dad bod.
And I think that's his real bod. I don't think they padded that.
Yeah, I don't really think he really became chubby. He became a daddy bear now, which is fine. I mean, yeah, it's okay. Just don't let him sing. Oh, my God. Please don't sing Russell Crowe. Yeah, I remember he was one of the characters in Les Miserables with Hugh Jackman. Yeah. Remember that one? And he began singing. Yeah. Oh, my God, that was really awful. Anyway, so last weekend, last Friday also, we got to watch Fantastic Beasts. So, yeah, you got to watch it. I got to watch it. So that was good.
What I forgot to put in, that we watched Fantastic Beasts too.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, it was good. It's highly recommendable. Boy Erased is good, and then also Fantastic Beasts. I enjoyed that more than Boy Erased, but they're both good. But Fantastic Beasts, what I did observe about Fantastic Beasts is, if you guys are going to watch it, there's going to be a lot of talking. Instead of, instead of showing the scenes or doing it, or reenacting it, they preferred to talk a lot about things, about what happened. So it's more like it's a movie with people explaining things.
it's a bridge movie, it seems like.
Yeah. They tried to, I guess it would take a lot of time. It would probably add another hour just to put in the scenes that they were talking about. Yeah. So they prefer to talk about it. Which is fine. I mean, it works.
Yeah.
So you've been, so how's your house now, Ray?
It's all decorated. I got a few more things to do, but pretty much done.
How many trees do you need?
How many do I need? I need more, but I'm sticking with three right now because that's all the trees I have to put up. So
three trees. I only have one, and I'm actually not even zero because I'm forbidden to put up any tree because it's too early, according to Mike.
Well, you better tell Mike if you're going to go buy a live tree, you better go get it soon because they're going to sell out because there's a shortage of Christmas trees and they're also more expensive this year.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
Yeah, because of the recession a couple years ago, people folded in on Christmas tree farming. So there's not enough people producing Christmas trees this year.
I see.
So until somebody picks it back up, and it takes some 10 years to grow, so it's going to be a little rough. So you might just be putting up your artificial tree.
Ugh, I didn't want to. Well, you better go get your tree now. I'll probably get it this week. Anyway, so what else happened? That's pretty much it?
That was pretty much it. I got some early Christmas presents.
Yeah, I need to do that too. Mike got me some presents, so I have to go to a dollar store to get him his presents. All right, so let's go to our stories, Ray.
Just go to General Dollar.
Dollar General? Okay, yeah. We can do that.
Dollar General, yeah. All right, you ready to move on to the stories you said?
Yes, I still don't get this story and why we have a lot of stories, but we picked this one. It's in the Sci-Fi channel? It's an article from Sci-Fi?
Yeah, it's an article from Sci-Fi. And it was posted a couple months ago, but
we're
watching Grindelwald, it pulls back up into the whole thing about Grindelwald. So gate this week is the Strange. Okay.
All right, go ahead. I thought it's news. It's an old story. Okay. All right.
Well, it's not an old story. It's a discussion about what happens with queer coding in movies and current and through the years with entertainment.
All right.
Okay. The Strange and Difficult History of Queer Coding. This article is from Sci-Fi. If you've been paying attention for the last couple years, or really for all human history, but we'll get to that, then you're probably aware of the very specific concern among LGBT communities. This issue is in regard to the way certain characters are portrayed in film and television, and boils down to one of two main complaints. Queerbaiting, a system by which creators depict an obviously queer relationship without acknowledging it. A lovely new fad in which creators claim LGBTQ representation in their work without providing it in any concrete way. For examples of the former, see pretty much any episode of Supernatural featuring both Dean Winchester and Castiel. For the latter, see recent comments about Lando Calrissian or any of the press releases for last year's Beauty and the Beast and Power Rangers. Both of these are major issues for LGBT community, as they seek to, whether intentionally or otherwise, capitalize on this marginalized audience without running any of the risk that comes with true representation. It's a way to have their cake and eat it too, though queer audiences will likely tell you that the cake is becoming quite stale. Much like many such devices, queer coding itself is neither positive nor negative. It has no motivations itself, and in fact, it can be both a tool used by content creators and one used by audiences in places the creators did not intentionally intend. The way the tool is used and applied, however, determines its positive or negative effects. Queer coding, as much as the name suggests, refers to a process by which characters in a piece of fictional media seem or code queer. This is usually determined by a series of characteristics that is traditionally associated with queerness, such as more effeminate presentations by male characters or more masculine ones from female characters. These characters seem somehow less than straight, so we associate those characters with queerness, even if their sexual orientation is never a part of their story. Queer coding has its roots in a wide variety of places throughout American history, usually situated in the 1950s and 60s when the U.S. government, along with a number of religious and conservative groups, became extremely concerned with the effect of various forms of media were having on the public. It is in that time that the Comics Code Authority arose, banning overt sexuality of any kind from comics and putting restrictions on the ways in which women could be depicted. Queer coding has a strange and difficult history in the universe of American narrative fiction as well, but it is important to note that it is not always a negative thing. Queer-coded characters have served to offer representation where there otherwise would be none, and has brought with it some of the biggest heroes and greatest villains in science fiction and fantasy. As with all things, it comes down to the intention of the creators. For those intentions that queer-coding can turn into queer-baiting, or whatever is it we're calling it that they did to Lando. But we can also look at this, and this is why I brought it up, because we watched Grindelwald. Because Albus Dumbledore is hinted at in the movie as being gay. They don't ever come out and say he's gay. They don't talk about his and Grindelwald's relationship, other than that they had a blood bond to never fight each other.
Yeah.
But it never states that they were lovers, which J.K. Rowling said that Albus Dumbledore is gay.
Yeah. So
in the movies, they kind of flish that on the screen that there is something going on between them. But that was it. It doesn't really say why they can't fight each other or anything and all this other stuff. So
yeah. So I see what you're saying now. So it's like there is a hint of gayness or a queer relationship, but it's not really articulated. It's not something that is really expressed because it's not part of the story. But there's a hint. Yeah. It's just hinting it.
There's a hint, yeah. And a lot of TV shows have a gay character, but you don't ever see that gay character story or anything about their life. You just know they're gay.
Yeah. Not like that guy from Orphan Black. One character is really, really gay because he's talking about you know, boyfriends and everything, which is fine. I mean, that's not really queer coding already. That's really queer. Anyway, so that... Yeah. Okay, so I could see what you're saying now. There's a lot of TV shows that are like that it hints it. One
TV shows and movies.
Yeah. In TV shows...
It used to be that...
Yeah, go ahead.
Go ahead.
Oh, yeah. So in TV shows like in Korra, you know, the Avatar Korra?
Yeah.
Yeah. So she was really close to one of the female characters. And she was just really close, and she did not have any interest with the guys, and only in so she was always what do you call this? She always sees the one of the female characters in the TV show, and in the end they were together. You know they all along they hinted it, and only at the last episode they actually said that, oh, they were together now to live together forever. So oh, okay, so they were lovers all along. Yeah. So I guess there's queer coding.
I mean, there are some good shows that handle it pretty well. Supergirl did a good job with it. One of the characters in Supergirl is gay, and they had her come out and go through a whole relationship. And now they've kind of buried that, and they're not saying much about it, but there's a whole storyline that actually showed her character developing and coming out as gay and everything like that. And most of the CW superhero stuff, and I think that's because... the people in charge are pretty open about it. So Riverdale does this thing where they try to make everybody seem gay, but they're really not. So that's an interesting take on it. But one of the things that the article, if you read the full article, this is a summed down version of the article, is it used to be if you were gay in a movie, you were the bad guy.
Oh,
you
really?
Were lascivious. Oh, yes, really? You were like if you watch the Celluloid Closet, I think it is, it talks about this, where if you watch all the older movies from the 60s and 70s, and like they're picking up two hitchhikers, and the guy picks up these two hitchhikers, and they're these two gay guys, and they're just like up to no good and bad people and everything. And a lot of movies were like that. All the gays were bad. So
yeah. That is probably that's the old style of doing it, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, okay. And things have changed. I mean, you get better roles, but it's still a lot of this queer baiting, like, oh, we get a gay character so we can make our ratings get reported. We have a gay character, but they don't ever do anything with that gay character. So,
yeah. Mm-hmm. Probably just mention it, but it's not really.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. So, all right. So, everybody listening,
what other shows do you
have? Yeah, everybody, if you guys are listening about and you have a comment about that, email us show@gaygeekbizarre.com and tell us what you think about queer baiting and queer coding. It's really mainly queer coding and movies, TV shows. All right, so let's go to the Geek Ray. I guess I'm going to take this one. Actually, I prefer the second one because I can talk about that more. But
you going to do this one?
Yeah.
Oh, we got two now?
Yeah, we got two now. Because that's something we can talk about, really. Okay.
Okay. All right. Our first geek, scientists have created a Star Trek-like plane that flies using ion thrusters and no fuel. This article is IFL Science.
Actually, that's it means I fucking love science. That's what it means.
Well, yes, but I wasn't gonna say that. So
yeah, well, I
I was trying to be nice.
So. You're fine. You're not in a podcast. We're not on radio.
But I'm not being crude or trying not to be.
Right.
Scientists have taken a major step towards creating an aircraft of the future, one powered by an ion drive rather than using moving parts and fuel like conventional aircraft. In her paper published today in Nature, a team led by Stephen Barnett from the Massachusetts Institute of Technology, or MIT, described how they created a so-called electrodynamic powered plane.
Electro-aerodynamic.
Powered plane, one that uses solid-state propulsion, meaning no propellers or jet engines with expendable fuel. The future flight shouldn't be things with propellers and turbines, Barrett says in the video below. It should be more like what you see in Star Trek, with a kind of blue glow and something that silently glides through the air. This breakthrough has not been possible before because our technology simply wasn't advanced enough. As far back as 1921, scientists had been unsuccessfully in trying to develop something similar. Once been taken for anti-gravity technology, but now the team say that the technology advances have enabled this to happen. In their test from 2016 to 2018, they created an aircraft with a wingspan of 16 feet that weighed 5.4 pounds.
That's really light.
It had
light.
A number of thin... Yeah. Well, I mean, it's a contest concept. It has a number of thin electrodes running across its wings, and at the front of these are thin wires, and at the back is an aerofoil and a curved surface to produce the lift like on a regular plane wing. The thin wires at the front are charged with positive 2,000 volts, while the aerofoil at the back is charged to a negative 2,000 volts.
20,000 volts,
creating a strong electric field. At the front, electrons are removed from the nitrogen molecules in the air to produce ions. And as these accelerate to the back, they produce an ionic wind, which gives the plane thrust. The basic idea is if you ionize air, which means moving an electron from it, you can accelerate the air with the electric field, Barlett told I Fucking Love Science, like the force you get if you rub a balloon on your head. The technique is similar to how ion engines are used in some spacecraft to travel through space. There are some significant similarities, said Barrett. However, those spacecraft rely on ionizing a fuel, such as a xenon gas, to produce thrust.
Xenon.
The plane developed by MIT team, The plane developed by the MIT team does not require propellant, instead relying only on the thin wires of an off-the-shelf lithium polymer battery. At the moment, the technology is limited, with the plane being very much a prototype. But future possibilities are exciting. In the near term, this thrust system could be used to power small drones, making them near silent, as they wouldn't have any propellers like regular drones. While this flight is perhaps not on the same magnitude, some of the future possibilities are certainly exciting. It's possible to fly planes that are solid state, and we just demonstrated that for the first time, said Barnett.
Can you imagine that if you can apply this on hovercraft, so use like the one in Star Wars? That'd be awesome. And actually planes and drones. Here's the problem though. You have to ionize air, but you need to have a medium. In Star Trek, though,
You still have to have some kind of power. But whether that can be based on batteries or a smaller engine, because jet engines use a lot of power, a lot of fuel. And if you could cut that down to next to nothing just to power the electrodes, then that would be a fuel savings and emission savings.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, however, as battery power storage develops, it's going to get even better.
So it's good. This is going to be applicable only on Earth. So you cannot do this really in space, because in space,
because there's nothing.
There's no other medium. There's no air. But on Earth, that'd be very ideal.
Yeah. Yeah.
This is interesting.
So on Earth, you're just using, chemical. Mike could explain it better. A chemical reaction to move the plane.
Yeah. Well, it's more like. Is it? Is it chemical? Yeah, I guess it is. Yeah, because you electrify it or something. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. So interesting. Star Trek is coming to the future, coming to the present now. Yeah. All right, let's go to the next one. I introduced this because I can really talk about this because this is something you might be interested in too, Ray. So Ohio, the state of Ohio, is set to become the first state to let businesses pay taxes with Bitcoin. So Ohio is poised to become the first state to allow businesses to pay taxes with Bitcoin in a new initiative that may become available to individual taxpayers as well. So the Wall Street Journal reported Sunday that businesses in the state will be able to register at ohiocrypto.com to pay state taxes with Bitcoin beginning this week. The program, which was ushered in by Ohio Treasurer Josh Mandel, will use third-party service BitPay to process payments. Businesses can currently pay 23 taxes through the program, including withholding tax, sales tax, and tax on tobacco products, among others. Any business that operates in Ohio, including those that aren't headquartered there, will be able to pay taxes using Bitcoin, and the program plans to eventually accept more forms of cryptocurrency in the future. So this is good. Cryptocurrency is all electronic. You can use that using Bitcoin. Ray, what are you doing, Ray? Ray, are you okay?
Yeah.
Are you moving things around? I could hear it from the speakers. I'm recording those too. Okay. Yeah. So okay. So Bitcoin. Yeah. You don't have to buy one Bitcoin because a Bitcoin right now costs about $4,000. You don't have to have one Bitcoin. You can spend about, let's say if you have $100, $200, or it's just like a prepaid card, and then you put it in your Bitcoin wallet, then you have like 0.0015 Bitcoin, something like that. It's just an example, not an exact number. But what happens is everybody can have Bitcoin. It doesn't have to be, you don't have to buy actually one Bitcoin. You can buy partial Bitcoins. So people are thinking, no, it's too expensive. Bitcoin, I can't pay by Bitcoin because it's expensive. It's $4,000 per Bitcoin. That is true if you buy one Bitcoin. But if you buy 0.0015 Bitcoins, it's a lot less. So you only pay about a few hundred dollars So you can pay partially, you can pay someone using cryptocurrency this way. Anyway, so in Ohio, it's the first state that's going to make use of Bitcoin for payments. Good for them. I hope other states will follow suit. So Ray, are you even remotely interested with Bitcoin?
Not at all. It makes no sense to me, so I ain't even studying about it.
Oh, really? Okay. But
yeah.
You
know, I'm like Julio in that aspect. That's too much technology for me. I'll stick with cash and debit cards, please. Thank you.
Okay, but it's actually comparable to how you use PayPal. So you PayPal, it's not the same, but it can be compared to. You remember your PayPal that you can put money into your
I don't use PayPal.
You don't use PayPal, Ray? Oh my God. Okay.
Nope.
Why not? Okay. Okay. But anyway, just to give an example for everyone listening, if you have PayPal, sometimes you put money into it. Let's say you put $100 into your PayPal wallet. This is the same, but the equivalent is different though, because one Bitcoin is $4,000 because it went down, right? But to have Bitcoin, because sometimes what's good about Bitcoin is if you want to pay someone from another country or you want to pay someone using Bitcoin, the transaction is it could just take either seconds or an hour. Actually, other cryptocurrencies, you can pay and the money gets transferred really quick. So this is it doesn't have to go through the banks. So I could see people using this for nefarious reasons, like drug dealers or things like that. But that's do not throw the baby with the bathwater. Meaning, there are more people who actually use this legitimately. And yeah, so I still think Bitcoin or any kind of cryptocurrency are good ways to for people to use, for businesses to transfer money. Anyway, so I wish you were more familiar with that, Ray, because I don't know, it might be something that you might be interested in the future. If you use credit cards, why not use Bitcoin? Because you can do that
too. I doubt it.
You doubt it? Mm-hmm. Because you don't like...
I'm getting where I want my life simpler. I don't want to make it any more confusing. And Bitcoin makes no sense to me.
Oh, it doesn't? Oh, too bad. Okay, let's go to the bizarre, Ray.
Okay, hackers hit adult furry website exposing hundreds of thousands of users. This article is from Gizmodo. The website for an adult furry game was hacked with 411,000 unique email addresses and other personal information leaked, according to Have I Been Pawned's Troy Hunt.
I have been pawned.
The website hosted...
It's pawned.
I've been pawned.
Yeah, that's how you say it, yeah.
Troy.
Have I been
pawned, okay.
Yeah.
The website hosted Hightail Hall, an interactive puzzle game where you can have erotic encounters with the surrounding characters. The data breach reportedly happened in August of this year, and aside from emails, also included IP addresses, names, orders, and passwords cryptographically audited to make them harder for hackers to crack. According to the security and web team at HTS Studios, the company behind the website and game, no financial data was leaked in the breach. HTH Studios noted that in his website and in a Twitter screenshot that Hunt reached out to the team on Tuesday to inform them of the data breach that had happened over the summer and that the information from the breach showed up on a popular hacking forum. In a public statement, the company noted that its website had been updating the following the breach. In October, we're using a much more advanced and stable security system, HTH Studios wrote, adding that it had been in contact with security developers, legal counsel, and law enforcement. The company ended its note urging every user to change your password just to be safe. Adult websites and the people who enjoy them are common targets for hackers. A report published by researchers at Kaspersky Labs found that 27 types of malware that infected around 50,000 PCs around the world on adult websites alone, where there were 300 of these incidents happening last year. And aside from going after people seeking out these types of websites, the websites themselves, like HTH Studios, are often targeted by bad actors. An ex-Haptor security breach leaked the information from more 380,000 users in 2016. And in the same year, Adult Friend Finder was hacked again, exposing 412 million accounts. As the internet comes to our sex toys, those two are susceptible to hackers. So be careful out there.
Yeah, so furry websites are now, this furry website, I have something to talk about Troy Hunt. So furry websites is, you know, this happens a lot with a lot of businesses and a lot of chat sites like, yeah, like even the adult sites like X Hamster and now this one, the furry website. So I don't even know if you can get away with this because username and passwords, you know, passwords are really, really bad. Passwords are really bad because if that's your only line of defense for any kind of authentication, then you are really susceptible to being hacked unless you change your password every time. I don't know if that will even help. So what's important for everyone, whether you're in Google, you're on Facebook, you're using Yahoo or whatever site, it's best to have two-factor authentication on your accounts. Meaning you need to have something like what you have and what you know. What you have is probably your phone. You have a Google Authenticator, and you can make use of text messaging. But you know, text messages are now getting hacked too. So you're better off with a YubiKey or something like an authenticator that you have on your keychain, or like I said, the other Google Authenticator or Duo or any kind of phone authenticator that you have. So Ray, how do you protect yourself with your passwords? You just use passwords. That's it. You don't you use two-factor authentication?
Well, I mean, it depends on some of my more secure accounts that I actually care about, like banking and credit cards and stuff. I do the two two-phase authentication. So,
yeah, okay, yeah, that those are the important ones. But if it's a chat site or, I don't know, Facebook.
It's a chat site, I usually put in stupid information anyhow. That's not really critical.
Oh, okay. Well, that I guess that's kind of a security. Yeah. So, okay. So I have to say, I can say something about this guy Troy Hunt. I saw a tutorial video about Troy Hunt on Have I Been Pwned, and Have I Been Pwned is a site where you type in your username or your email address, and you get to see if you've been hacked. And then you list down the sites that you were hacked in. Yes. This should have been a geek Ray, because it what's bizarre about this? What is bizarre about this, Ray? But it's a furry website. It's a furry website. Yeah. Okay, because it's an adult furry website. So what can you say about adult furry? It does not necessarily mean people there are there for sex, right?
True. I mean, it's like all those gay people on Scruff. Now, all of them are not there for sex. Yeah. I mean, some of them are married in serious relationships. They just like to show their butt to everybody.
Yeah, that's right. And as for adult furries, I guess they just want to have some kind of support group or people to be associated with. Because once you talk about this with other people, adult furries or furries themselves, they always think about sex. And remember, we had furries in our previous show in Bear Podcast before? Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, did they talk about sex? I guess that is one factor that happens, but it's not the main thing, right? They get into this mental state that they are, since they're furries, they do that. So anyway, well, too bad that these guys got hacked. And anyway, so Troy Hunt, he was the one who caught this. It may have been listed. If you enter if you're a furry and you're an adult furry, you have to enter your website in Have I Been Pwned. That's a website. You can just Google that site. Anyway, Troy Hunt is a very good web evangelist, web security evangelist. Is really good, yeah. Troy Hunt. Yeah.
All right. So I just did Have I Been Pwned.
All right. What did you see?
It says breaches you were pawned in. Bitcoin security forum Gmail dump. So that's that damn Bitcoin that I had nothing to do with screwed me.
Well, it's more like, wait a second, your account is there, but you don't have an account there. Somebody made an account for you.
I don't know, but it says it's got Bitcoin Google Gmail dump. So I don't know where that came from, but that was in 2014. There's exploit in unverified, which there's a big, so LinkedIn, MySpace. You remember MySpace, Maynard?
Yep.
Online or spam bots and Pimmy, I can't even remember, Pimmy Block.
See, and those are sites where somebody submitted your email address. That's what happened.
Oh, well, I'm sure they did.
So. Yeah, you didn't sign up for them. And somebody make user the email, put it in there, and then that site got breached. So you really can't do anything about that. But you didn't put any of your information in those sites, so it doesn't really matter. Except for MySpace.
No. Okay.
I think I got it.
Yeah, well, MySpace, nobody even uses it anymore. So I think I shut mine down a year or two ago. After that, I just deleted my account.
Yeah. I still use that before. We used to use that for Bear Podcast before. Anyway, okay, so I guess those are our stories for the week. And it's almost December, so send us some cards. Where do we send our cards, Ray? Oh, if you guys would like to send us holiday cards, you can send it to us on our P.O. box. Go to send it to
Gay Geek.
Go ahead.
GayGeekBazaar.com, P.O. Box 2511. Humble, Humble, Texas, 77347.
That's right. So you can send us there. All right. So, yeah, looking forward to some cards if we ever get one. All right. So we also, we can go now, Ray. So we are now in the top 25 gay podcasts. It's a feedspot.com. It's blog.feedspot.com/gay_podcast. Whoever made that site should really remove that underscore. Putting underscores in your website is really a bad idea. Better put the dash instead. Anyway, okay, so also catch us on Facebook. We have articles on Facebook, facebook.com/gaygeekbizarre. And also if you want to email us, send your emails to show@gaygeekbizarre.com.
Or call or leave us a voicemail at 281-947-2327. That's 281-947-2327. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter. We're on Podbean, Google Play, iTunes, and Stitcher Radio.
Yes, and go to the official website at gaygeekbizarre.com. Thank you, everyone, for listening, and we'll catch you guys on the next show. Bye.